Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com worldwide, and it is my distinct pleasure to welcome, for the first time in this program, Colm Brophy, who is a minister with the Government of Ireland with responsibility for overseas development aid and diaspora. And Colm, I want to welcome you very much to the program.
Thank you, Adrian. Delighted to be on your program.
Can I first of all, in addition to welcoming you, I know that our listeners, particularly throughout the United States, are, in addition to our own situation, which appears, unfortunately, to be worsening by the day. How is Ireland, generally speaking, and how is the coronavirus, the COVID-19, the pandemic, how is that being handled today?
Well, thank you for, first of all, I think, starting with what is the most important thing on so many people's minds, which is the impact of COVID-19. Wherever you are in the world, whether you're here in Ireland or whether you're in the United States, it probably is the single biggest thing that is affecting people's lives. We have been very conscious of it. Firstly, in terms for me and my job, in terms of our diaspora and our communities around the world and how it's affected them. But back home here in Ireland, just to, I suppose, give you a sketch of what has happened and how we've been affected, we had in March of this year, like so many countries, the first wave of coronavirus. And the government engaged, the government at the time, and the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, engaged in a program whereby we had a very successful shutdown, and we did all the things that people are nearly tired of hearing these days, washing your hands, keeping 6 feet away from people, making sure to wear masks and social distancing and all the things. And we very successfully brought the R number down and the infections per 100,000 down, all the things that unfortunately we've all learned to hear about on our nightly news on a daily basis. So that then progressed through the summer, and we were able to have a lifting of restrictions during the summer. Like a lot of countries, particularly in Europe, and I know in the United States as well, we had a resurgence of the virus. The government, the new government, acted very quickly, and what we brought in was a very decisive program whereby, under what we refer to as level five, we closed the non-essential retail businesses, we closed the pubs, we closed restaurants, and we asked people where they could to work from home. We kept our schools open. We made sure to do that, and our school children are still attending school. And what we have done is we have brought down the numbers very, very significantly. Less than a month ago, we were having incidences of about 1,000 new cases a day, and that's been dropping down to 350 to 400. The R number is under 1. And we have seen a very significant reduction and a very good outcome due to the efforts of Irish people in observing the rules and in making a success of this. And next week, the government will make a decision as to what regulations and rules they will put in place for the Christmas period, because the one thing that the government is very anxious to do is to ensure that people can have a meaningful Christmas and that they can celebrate with their families, and they can do so, though, in a safe way, and that we can have as much of normal life open as possible. But we're very focused on making sure that people's overall health and safety is preserved. So whatever changes in the regulations are brought in, the health and safety of everybody in the community will be foremost in our thoughts.
Without emphasizing or bemoaning the fact, and we are a great word in my native Mayo, and it says the word was Bronach, which is kind of a sadness, and you could combine that with disappointment that we all feel about, well, initially not being able to visit Ireland for Christmas, and indeed the hopes that somehow, preferably in 2021, that the great fortune, the welcome that Ireland has, particularly for the diaspora, that will be renewed, and in the interim, that Ireland has not forgotten about the diaspora, and you now, as minister in charge of the diaspora, you have big kind of responsibility, but maybe a word to make us somewhat feel better. Ireland is not closing down. Ireland is not.
It's certainly not closing down. And just you've made some very interesting points there. And just to start off on a really positive thing that I want to point out, I'm a great believer in the fact that we have to look on things and say they're getting better and we're going to get better. So we have good news on things like vaccines and the availability of vaccines. And from what we're hearing in all the type of international news reports, is that we'll start to see vaccines becoming available in a very small way at the very end of this year and in hopefully a very extensive rollout in next year. That will make a huge difference, I think, to the impact on COVID-19 all over the world. When we get to the stage where people can safely travel again and when people have access to vaccines and that can be done, we want Irish people in our diaspora and we want everybody who wants to come to Ireland and visit us. We are the country of the 100,000 welcomes. We are the country that wants you to come here and have that opportunity to experience what it is to see Ireland, to feel its culture, to feel that culture in Ireland itself. And I know from my opportunity in engaging in virtual meetings with so many wonderful, wonderful organizations right across America who are supporting our Irish diaspora community and who are doing so much work out there, organizing festivals, organizing virtual St. Patrick's Day for next year's, organizing all the cultural events. They will tell you that the one thing that they're looking forward to is being able to do that again in person and obviously being able to have people coming from Ireland out to them and people from America coming back into Ireland. And we really do, when that can be done safely, we want that to happen. And just to reassure people in the diaspora community, we're doing a lot at the moment to strengthen and deepen our connection to the diaspora. I launched in the last 48 hours a new diaspora policy document, and that really increases our commitment, not just to reach out to the traditional Irish diaspora, but to the new Irish diaspora of a much broader and multicultural, multiracial Irish diaspora, to reach out to people who are not just of Irish descent, but people who have an affinity for Ireland, who have explored Irish culture and Irish literature and the various things about our country and have really developed an affinity, and we want to engage with them. We want to give people an opportunity to come here and study when it's safe and to have access to both the cultural and educational aspects of life in Ireland, and people to come here and do what they've always done, which is to holiday and see and to see Ireland for themselves or to come back and see it again. But in the meantime, we are making money available through our support programs, particularly in the States. We will have over $4 million, actually, will be allocated to the immigrant support projects. And that goes out to helping all those organizations right across the United States. I think we have about 88 organizations who are in receipt of that. And we will have approximately 500,000 of that earmarked in next year's budget specifically to help those organizations who are dealing with people in terms of the impact of COVID on their lives. So it's extra money we're putting in,
yeah.
And it's our way of reaching out to our diaspora at the moment and saying, we're with you there through these tough times, and we know there will be better times ahead.
Well, in addition to all of that, which is welcome, it is also, comforting to know that despite the urgent needs that we have to see us through this pandemic, that you've actually rolled out a 5-year plan, comforting to know again that when this pandemic ends, which hopefully will be soon, that the Irish government will not be dropping their commitment to the diaspora.
Oh, not only will we not be dropping our commitment to the diaspora, but as you quite rightly say, this 5-year plan is all about deepening and expanding our commitment. And we're very lucky as a country to have one of the most vibrant and strongest diasporas. And I think we're unique in terms of the number of people in the world who would actually claim heritage back to what is a very small country. So what we want to do is we want to make sure that for that group of people, that we find ways, new and imaginative ways to engage, and also to reassure people who have been traditionally involved with many of our diaspora activities of that complete commitment by the Irish government to, as I say, further enhance the diaspora experience for people.
Minister Brophy, I think it's probably appropriate at this point, to say that with our new president, with who, by the way, is a fellow Ballinam, and of course to talk about Joe Biden, there is a more welcome direct pathway in terms of recognition of, well, generally of immigrants who are here and those who would like to enter. When the stigma of the current situation in America, when that passes, and it will through new leadership, the Irish government and successive Irish governments have had, have actually not forgotten the plight of the undocumented, but now there is a new opportunity with a more friendly, perhaps a more understanding, administration that will be able to address that. The Irish government, the new Irish government, has in fact already begun and incorporated into the new strategy a more than a passing concern for the undocumented currently in the United States.
Well, what we've actually, and I take up literally at the point you left off there, we have made it a core point of our new strategy. Right at the very start of our strategy, we talk about the fact that it's about our people, and that we will ensure that the support remains there for our diaspora people. And in particular, we highlight that what the work which we will do to continue to work to the US and continue to support the E3 visa bill, and we'll continue to work for seeking solutions for undocumented Irish people who are in the States. So it is an absolute core part of our strategy. It's highlighted and we put it in there because we want people to be reassured of that continued support from our side. We look forward to working with the new Congress and the new administration, and we will continue that work. As you know, all processes of immigration reform are a very complex issue, and they are an issue that is a very difficult issue for public representatives in the United States to deal with. But we are focused on this. We want to achieve that resolution, and we look forward to working with the new Congress and the new administration in this area, and particularly in terms of the E3, trying to bring some resolution there. So that will be a key focus, and we want people to be reassured that that remains a key focus for us.
Minister, there has been a thorny issue for many years, particularly for immigrants who many would have felt that the opportunities in Ireland, that the country, a very small country of Ireland, that traditionally immigration associated with a better way of life and a with more employment opportunities and whatever, that, you know, they should have some input into the country which many would say they were forced to leave. Which brings us to the issue of the vote for the presidential elections to Irish citizens, wherever they're living.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that we, when we were forming this government, put into the programme for government. It's also in our new diaspora strategy, because it's absolutely something that we believe in. Now, just to make it absolutely clear, we have to have a referendum in Ireland where people will be asked to give their consent for this. And so what we will have is, over the next number of months, we will have the passage of a piece of legislation through the Oireachtas. When that is passed, we will have a referendum. And if the Irish people decide it is the government's firm intention to extend the voting franchise to Irish citizens, no matter where they live in the world, to have a say in voting for the President of Ireland. And the objective would be to have that in place for the next presidential election. So there are a number of stages that I've outlined that have to be completed.
Right.
But we have a very strong commitment there that we want to see, and we believe it should happen, that Irish people will have that input. And that will give us a chance to look and see how that works, how many people want to take that up. But for those Irish citizens who are currently living outside our country, it will be an opportunity to let them participate in the democratic process of electing our next president.
Minister Brophy, I also would like to address an issue that, again, many would have, and of course we do hear from critics rather than those who have had a successful return to Ireland to live. Never has there been a time when so many people, so many immigrants, want to return to Ireland. But the begrudgers, and sometimes those with very good reason, are really kind of fed up with the welcome that is extended for the diaspora to return to Ireland, and then the number of barriers and hurdles that have to be jumped when once you get there. Can you tackle that one head on for us?
Well, Adrian, there's two parts to that question. One is in relation to the barriers to coming back, and just to make it very clear, in both our diaspora strategy and in the view which the government would have, is we want to facilitate people to come back. We believe our diaspora are a tremendous asset to us, and that they are people we should be proud of, and therefore it's a two-way process. And if people want to return to Ireland, we're going to, as part of our new diaspora strategy, work to ensure the removal of barriers to people coming back, and to make Ireland a very welcome place for them to return and to basically live their lives in Ireland. And I think Ireland will be an enriched country from that. And I also think that it is the view of most Irish people who, as you would know and I would know, Irish people who live their lives are welcoming people. They're people who want to be there to welcome people and encourage people to have that opportunity to come and live and share and work in Ireland, the Ireland that people who live here all the time are lucky enough to enjoy. I think you also asked in terms of the people who would not be so welcoming, who would not wish people to return. I think that's a very small group. I think, like in every country in the world, there are people who are not as open and inclusive, and sometimes their voices seem quite loud. But I think when it comes to Ireland and when it comes to that welcome for diaspora, it's not only there and strong, but it's something that the government is determined to work to make sure that those barriers that you mentioned are tackled and that it is easier for people, be it to come here to improve education, be it to come here to work and or be it to come here for their senior citizen years when they might want to have an experience of returning to Ireland, having spent many, many years living in another country. In all situations, we believe that we should try and facilitate and enable that, and that that will be an enriching and beneficial process both for Ireland and for the people who come here.
Finally, and I know that you're under time constraints there, I just want to ask you and take you back to that summer that you, Colin Brophy, like so many others, came to the United States primarily to work, but also the curiosity and, you know, the all the tales of, you know, what America's like, what New York is like. You were one of those who picked up and came over here for the summer. Just describe for us what that was. What was like? What was the anticipation? What was the reality from once you got here?
It was an amazing experience, I have to say. Just to give everyone a flavour of my own age, therefore, it was 1986, and a very different Ireland, if you could imagine. My cousins live out the island, and so when I initially arrived, I went out and I was staying with them out in the Hamptons. And looking around to see, like so many young Irish people who go out on J1 visas and everything, if I could get some work. Didn't end up finding any work. And a really great guy who was a friend of theirs who lived in Astoria in Queens said, listen, guys, I'll give you a lift back in. And we were driving back in and he said, I might have a job that I can fix you up with. And we ended up working for a job and we had a really fabulous experience for a summer working and living in New York City, experiencing all the things that you type of see in those days on television, but you don't really have any real understanding of until you arrive out and you hear the sights and the sound and the noise of the city. And one of the great highlights for me was it was the July 4th reopening of the Statue of Liberty. At that time, President Reagan did the unveiling of and made a massive firework display. And I remember the guys in work were offering triple time and quadruple time to get me to work. And I type of said to myself, well, you know what? It's a lot of money. That's a lot of dollars. But I'm only probably ever going to be in New York once on July 4th. And I'm certainly only ever going to get to see the Statue of Liberty unveiled again in a firework display after its restoration. So I decided, nope, do you know what? I'm going to go down and went down to beside the World Trade Center, which in my job I used to go in and out of very sadly. I used to go in and out of every second day. You know, so it really had that impact on me on 9/11. And but on that July 4th, got to stand there and watch this incredible fireworks display over the New York and the Statue of Liberty, and it was just a great, great experience. It's a great part of my life, which I really look back on very, 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 very fondly.
on that positive note, I want to thank you for your time, but not without saying that for the 500 people who actually representing just about every aspect of the culture and the influence of the Irish in America, this is something new for us. Normally, we would be having the Falter for you right here in New York. And, you know, I know that Kieran Madden, the Consul General of Ireland, would indeed have put on a great reception for you. And by the way, that's only, it's on the back burner for now, but it will happen. And in the interim, to have Ambassador Dan Mulhall, Irish Ambassador to the United States, set up a very, very poignant and important meeting with you, who, like the rest of us, can't get on the plane. We're looking forward to that.
Well, I would say that I am really looking forward to that moment in time and that opportunity when the circumstances change and the vaccines are available and I can get on that plane and I can have an opportunity to go out and meet with so many great people that I've had the chance to meet with in the virtual world, to have a chance to meet and talk to them in person, to meet your good self in person, and to engage in, and also to meet up with my cousins. So
it's
something, at the end of it, family is so important to so many people. So look, I look forward to that opportunity, and thank you for the wonderful opportunity to talk to you today and to talk to your listeners. And I look forward to an opportunity to do it again shortly. I will be doing an announcement in the coming weeks about a wonderful project which we're going to put in place in relation to helping our diaspora and Irish people around the world keep in touch with Ireland and what's happening with Ireland over Christmas, those who can't come back. And when the details of that are ready to go, hopefully you'll invite me back again onto your show, and I'll be delighted to talk about it then.
Yeah, not only are you invited, but you know, we're subject to hanging a puss if we're not right up, front, bringing news and very positive news like we've had today on this program. Minister Colin Brophy, again, Minister for Overseas Development and Diaspora, you couldn't be more welcome, and particularly at this time, we thank you. And, of course, the continuing support of the Irish government. And thanks.
Thank you very much. Sláinte.